Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
But now, we can test everything everyone says. And it amazes me that some pastors get really upset that people will say, you're teaching something that's different than what the Bible says. The preachers who tell you that God wants you rich do this. And then we read the Bible and we study and it says, if anybody is teaching godliness as a means of financial gain, withdraw yourself from them, the Bible says. And they go, don't lay your hands on God's anointed.
We should test everything we hear from the pulpit against God's word. And any good pastor is going to encourage the church to do the same thing, especially in this day where the word of God is often taken out of context. Cults and false teachers will quote scripture, isolate it, and make it say something radically different. How do we guard ourselves against this deception? Stay with us for part two of our study in Acts 17, 5 through 15. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In Thessalonica, when they preached the gospel, there suddenly was a problem that arose in that some people didn't like what they were saying. This is in Acts 17. We are now not in Berea, we're before Berea. At the end of Paul being there, we learn that Paul had to get out of there. They had to get him out of there. It says in verse 5 of Acts 17, but the Jews who were not persuaded, so some of the Jews were persuaded, but the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, all of the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason. Now, poor Jason, this is the first time that we learn about him. And he's invited Paul and Silas in. And now there's a mob attacking Jason. And they sought to bring him out to the people. But when they could not find them, that is Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some brethren. So now brand new Christians. They just learned about Christ being the Messiah. And now they're being dragged before the magistrate. And it says in verse 7, they said, Jason has harbored them. And these are acting contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying there is another King Jesus. This was the problem that Rome had with Christianity. See, what did Paul teach them? The Messiah had to suffer and die for our sins and rise from the dead as foretold in the Old Testament. But some in the synagogue would have said, doesn't the Bible say that the Messiah is going to rule and reign, that he is king? And the Old Testament certainly says that Jesus is king. So Paul would say to them, yes, but the first time he came to suffer. The second time he comes, he will come to reign. And this caused a clash with the Romans, because this is the Roman Empire. This is not the Roman Republic. It's the empire where the Caesars were considered to be king. And when you would not declare Caesar as king, that brought persecution into the church. This is exactly what's happening here. So then in verse 8, and they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So the crowd was like, they're saying that somebody else is king besides Caesar? It troubled them. And when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Now, what is this telling us? That when you and I do what we talked about last week, we plant seeds, we water seeds, we are an ambassador for Jesus, we are the light of the world, we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We stand up for Christ, that people are not going to like us. We are going to be persecuted. There is a price for standing for Jesus. Now, last week I said this is easier than you think. Being a witness for Jesus is easier than you think because God's the one who gets people saved, not me, not you. However, there is a price to pay. And the world is going to persecute us. Now, the Bible tells us this very, very clearly that this will happen. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. They're going to think that you, as a Christian, are dumb. What's the way that the world, the United States people in the United States in general, think about sold out Christians who are living wholeheartedly for Christ? They think that we don't know what's going on, that we are disconnected. In reality, we know what is going on exactly. In John 15, 18 and 19, Jesus said this, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We shouldn't be surprised that we are going to have persecution. And when it happens, when you're passed over for that job promotion and you suspect it's because you're a Christian, or your professor mocks you in your class in school, for the college students that are here, what are you supposed to do? What did Jesus tell us to do? Rejoice. Think about the apostles. Early on in the book of Acts, they are warned, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They continue to do it. They say, you decide, should we serve God or men? They continue to preach in the name of Jesus. So then some of the apostles were arrested and they were beaten publicly and released. The Bible says that when they were released, that they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. That's the attitude we should have in persecution. And what an attitude to be beaten openly and then to say, this is an honor for us. When we have an opportunity to be persecuted and we say, I'm going to rejoice in this persecution, it's very powerful. Now, one more, Matthew 5:10, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're not living for this world anyway. We're living for the kingdom of heaven, and God's taking care of us. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So let's go to verse 10 now. Let's see the work of God in Berea and the perspective of those who receive it. Verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night. Now we take it that Luke and Timothy had to stay in Thessalonica. It's a brand new church. They just started and now the persecution hit. So somebody has to stay there and help establish that church. But Paul and Silas got to get out of there. So they send them away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. What did Paul get in trouble for in Thessalonica? Going into the synagogue of the Jews. Some believing and some not, it caused persecution. What does Paul do right away? Goes to the synagogue of the Jews. Why? We learned it last week. It was his custom. This is how he shared Christ. So he went into the synagogue and he began to do that. And then we learn of them, these were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians, in that they received the word of God with readiness and searched the scriptures to find out whether these things were so. Now, look at the word fair-minded, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that word. It's a Greek word that means good birth. It's translated in some translations, noble. That's the idea. That's the Greek word. But Luke, as he writes this, is using it in another way. And we know that because the region of Berea was not more noble than the region of Thessalonica. The people that lived in the city of Thessalonica were of noble birth. The people in Berea were not. It's a different kind of a city. So what he's talking about is not their birth, but that they are more noble in the way they receive information. That's what they're talking about. This is what we want to do as well. These were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and then searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were so. They were committed to taking time to search after they had heard it to see whether or not this really was the truth. Now, what we can learn from these new Jewish Christians who received the word of God this way is that we could be fair-minded like that as well. That we want to search the scriptures. We don't want to just believe something because somebody said it. If you're going to be able to share, or if you are ever asked to give a defense for the hope that is in you, probably the worst answer you could give someone is, my pastor said so. That will be of no help at all. You have to own it. You have to know why it's true. You have to be able to do that. And this means you've got to do what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15. This is for all of us. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the word of God has to be taken in context. You've got to rightly divide it. If you don't rightly divide it, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. This is why Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, other cults quote scripture, because they're wrongly dividing the word of God. They're making it say something that it doesn't mean. You've got to read it in context to get it. There's a passage in the Old Testament that says, go out, party, have a great time, get drunk. Now people could read that and go, wow, well, there you go. Didn't think I liked the Bible, but I like the Bible now. But when you read it in context, it says, if you don't want to serve God and you don't want to live for Him, then go out and party, get drunk, because that's all you have. You have nothing else. You don't have eternity. So when you read it in context, you rightly divide it, and it says something radically different. Anybody can make the Bible say whatever they want it to say if they take it out of context and wrongly divide it. So we have to be diligent to study the scriptures. Now think about that. We live in a time when we can do that better than you can take any topic that you're interested in Christianity, and you can dive in the days that we live in. There was a time when the Bible wasn't even written in a common man's language. When Wycliffe and Luther started translating the Bible specifically into German, where people could read it for what it said itself, they found out that the people that had control of it were not telling them what was really in it. They were telling them something different. But now we can test everything everyone says. And it amazes me that some pastors get really upset that people will say, you're teaching something that's different than what the Bible says. The preachers who tell you that God wants you rich do this. And then we read the Bible and we study, and it says, if anybody is teaching godliness as a means of financial gain, withdraw yourself from them, the Bible says. And they go, don't lay your hands on God's anointed. Don't attack me. It's like, we're not attacking you. We're studying what you say. Anything we teach as a pastor, it is open and public and subject to people searching it and criticizing it if it's not right, or criticizing it if they think it's wrong. That's the nature of what you and I do within the scripture. Now, we have more podcasts today that you can listen to on any topic that you want to listen to. I do a lot of driving. I back and forth. We have two campuses, and I live in Oro Valley. The church I pastor is on the east side of town and the southwest side of town. Those are our campuses. I should switch out for somebody up. No, I won't do that. I wouldn't do that. But because of that, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I take in a lot of information, but I love it. I love diving in to areas to find out, you know, not an expert in certain areas, you dive in to find out what it's saying. Now, YouTube channels are there as well. YouTube channels you got to be careful with. You want to know who it's from, because there, and I'm going to just pull a name out of the sky now. There could be a YouTube channel named this, probably is. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad, because I don't know. But if a YouTube channel is called Bright and Shining YouTube Channel, I don't know if that's a good name or not. No one's probably got that. But let's just say that's the name of it. So you start listening to it, but you don't know who it is. They don't tell you. You don't know if it's Seventh-day Adventist. You don't know if it's a cult. And I'm not saying all Seventh-day Adventists are cults. I think that some are and some aren't. There's a movement going on within Seventh-day Adventist churches. But you don't know who it's from. This happens on college campuses too. Some of you students have run in to a group on the college campus, and they start having Bible studies with you, and everything looks, you know, kosher up front. And then all of a sudden they throw in some stuff that's not right. And you say, well, what group are you affiliated with? And they go, well, no, we're just a church. Well, who are you affiliated with? Oh, no, we aren't affiliated with anybody. That is, so they don't tell you. That is a sign for you to run from that group, by the way, if they don't tell you. And the same thing with the YouTube channel. If they'll tell you who they are, well, then that's one thing. But if they won't tell you who they are, then I'll give you a secret. Go and look up, do a search on your computer, who is Bright and Shining Ministries? and they're going to pop up. I had one of those happen to me. I listened to a couple of them, and I thought something's not quite right with this. I searched for it. Sure enough, it was a cult that was behind it. But they don't come out telling you, we're a cult or we're this cult. They just come out doing it. So you got to be careful. But when they'll tell you who they are, then you know and you've got a better idea, is this someone I want to be listening to? So you just got to be careful with it. But we do want to study to show ourselves approved. Now, the Thessalonians were like that, and we want to be like the Bereans. We want to receive it and then search the scriptures to find out whether or not it's true. But what happened in Berea, once Paul brought the message there, and by the way, many of them ended up believing, look at verse 12, therefore, because they studied to see if these things were true, therefore, many of them believed. So in Thessalonica, some believed, but in Berea, many of them believed. And also not a few Greeks, prominent women and men as well. So some Greeks got saved, prominent men and women got saved, and the Jews in the synagogue that Paul preached to got saved. Then, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also, stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away. Paul seems to be this lightning rod for persecution. And they're like, we got to get Paul out of Berea now. But Paul's got to leave people in Berea because it's a brand new church. They've got to be established. It says, they sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy had been left with Luke in Thessalonica. Now Timothy's down in Berea, and Silas and Timothy remained there to help establish that church. And those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens. So Paul is by himself now in Athens and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him. So he sent for them immediately. He was like, come to me in Athens. So he to come with all speed, and they departed. And the next thing we're going to read is Paul's message on Mars Hill. If you've ever been to Rome, you've ever been to Athens, you know that there are statues everywhere there. And they represent a lot of the Roman and Greek gods, which is the same pantheon, by the way. They're just going to go by different names. And when Paul was in Athens, he was stirred by it. And so he got up and gave a message now to Gentiles. Every message we've gotten in the book of Acts now, and we have two from Peter early on, we've got several parts of what Paul would do, but now we get a message for the first time to Gentiles. That's what we're covering in our two-hour sermon next week. Not really going to be 2 hours. I only wish that it could be. But that's what we're going to look at, is Paul on the Areopagus, on Mars Hill, giving the presentation of the gospel to Gentiles. And it's so powerful. Now, three thoughts in closing. Number one, we are on a truth quest. We want to know what the Bible says so we can know the truth. We don't want to try to manipulate the Bible to what we already believe. If I believe something that's wrong, I want to know what that is. So I study the scriptures to find out what the truth is. I don't study the scriptures to back up what I already believe. If what I believe isn't correct, I want to know. I want to know what the truth is, and we are on a truth quest. That's why in our vision statement, we say walking in truth. That's why the title of our church's podcast is Truth Quest, because we are on a truth quest. Number two, people are going to dislike you as a Christian. Don't take it personal. They don't like what we do. They don't like what we stand for. They don't like that we are emphatic, that Jesus is the only way into heaven. And so we will be persecuted. But it's not because of you, it's because of Christ. And that's why we rejoice when we're persecuted. And finally, don't let a week go by that you don't redeem the time. Paul said it in his day, redeem the time. The end is near, redeem the time. Well, the end is near here as well. Let's redeem the time. Learn what we can learn. Make sure to seek out information and own the things you learn. Not just because you've been told it in church, but because you've actually studied it and now you know it. And when people say, well, why do you believe that? You can say, well, let me show you. you can begin to show them certain passages. Do not let a week go by without learning more about the gospel, the word of God, and the truth, standing strong for him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be able to be here and look at the message given to the Bereans and see it, how it was received by the Jews that were there and how they received the word of God, and then search the scriptures to see whether or not those things were so. What a good thing for us to learn. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never received Christ. Billy Graham used to say, have you received Christ? This is very biblical. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. That is that you say, Lord, I want you in my life. Now, if you don't want him, he's not going to force his way in. He's given you a choice that you could say, I want to know him and I want to love him. That's how you receive him. If you don't want to, you don't have to do that. But if you want to, today, you could say, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. You believe in him and now you're committed to him. And if you're here today and you want to do that, I'm going to ask you to do something very simple, but with profound implications for your life as you begin to live for him. You want to give your life to Christ? Then I'm going to ask you simply to raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand, and then I want to pray with you as you give your life to Christ. Don't let this time go by. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Just raise your hand now. God bless you guys back over to the right. That's awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, and if you're watching online, you can pray this prayer and invite Christ into your life. He's there with you now, and he will enter in as well and change you, as I'll talk about in a few moments. But I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.